fleeting glimpses of things seen through a veil, darkly. Do we understand the meaning of these visions of life? Why we are here and how little of our existence we truly understand? Tonight we will talk of these things on The Other Side. Welcome to The Other Side. I am Jim Harold and so glad to be with you once again. And we have a fascinating show for you today. You know, I think sometimes self-talk and those kind of things are so important in the way we feel about ourselves. I feel when I have a positive outlook and I'm communicating with myself well, I do so much more better than when I have the negative self-talk, which I do sometimes. I think most of us fall into that. And we're going to have a great discussion today about a new book that is out recently in 2026. It's called Fearless, 27 Affirmations to Change Your Life. And our guest today is the author, Mama Rose. Mama Rose is a spiritual guide, musician, mother, and author whose transformative affirmations have helped thousands overcome limiting beliefs. Drawing from her own healing journey through trauma, anxiety, and depression, she offers a compassionate framework for self-discovery and personal empowerment. And you can check out more information about her at mamarose.blog. And we're so glad to have her with us today. Mama Rose, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Jim. Thanks for having me.
So I guess the first thing to ask is very basic, but what is your definition of an affirmation?
That's a great place to start. So through my healing journey, I realized that I am talking to myself all the time, right? We all have this inner voice that's happening pretty much all of the time. And it's what sets up the way that we view ourselves and the way that we view the world. So when we start to notice the way that our inner voice is talking to us already, we realize that there are certain things that we are affirming to ourselves. And the purpose of us affirming those things is that we're holding beliefs in place. So I might have a series of statements that I tell myself that help me hold the belief in place that I am a really creative person.
Right.
But I also might have a series of beliefs that I, or things that I tell myself that help me hold the belief that I'm never going to have the car that I want. You know,
right.
So there could be things that we would maybe view as positive or view as negative or view as something that's limiting us or view as something that's propelling us forward. But we're always talking to ourselves. We have this inner dialogue. And so I realized that when I started to identify what it actually was that I was saying to myself and bring those things to question and go, okay, does this support the version of myself that I actually want to create, that I want to become?
Right.
That then I had this opportunity to start to bring in new statements that I could say to myself or new affirmations to affirm new things. So that's when I realized the power of my inner voice to change and create my reality. So an affirmation is just something that you're saying to yourself. And a lot of those are things that are unconscious. But when we bring light to those, when we're present with ourselves, we learn how to be present so we can have self-awareness, then we start to be able to have power in our ability to craft those affirmations for ourselves.
Now, let me ask you this. It would be great if we, I guess it would be great in the sense that I think sometimes we pick up a lot of negative affirmations or self-talk from maybe our parents and our families and things like that. There's also positive things. But I'll give you an example. For me, growing up, and I mean, it's been a while, but it impacted me for decades. My dad, I'll be very honest. My dad was always one of these people, well, you know, you're born into a working class family and there's nothing wrong with it. That's great. I appreciate people who do hard manual labor. My dad was a steel worker. My grandfather was a coal miner. But the point is that, you know, you can't do different things or you can't achieve because you don't have the right last name or your family isn't wealthy. And I mean, I do think there is something to that to some extent, maybe that those people have advantages and things. But it was always kind of like, you can't do this. You can't. My wife and I were just talking. I mentioned to you that we just came back from a trip to Alaska, which was a once in a lifetime. But if you had told either set of my parents, you're going to be traveling to Alaska, you'd be like, oh my God, what are you doing? That's, you know, that's crazy. You know, I mean, It sounds weird now because I think many of us has become much more travelers commonly. But when both of us were growing up, it's like, you don't try, you don't get on a plane. That's for people on TV, you know, and these really limiting beliefs. And I replayed those tapes for decades. I think I eventually kind of rose above it, but I guess it's a long-winded way of asking you, you know, it's not like we just come to this life or come to adulthood with a blank slate. We've kind of been pre-programmed with affirmations, Some of them positive, you know, people, Jimmy, they call me Jimmy. Jimmy's very smart. Well, that was very positive. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But there were also just as many negative ones. You know, you can't rise above. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do the other thing because of who you are, where you come from, what your last name is. And that was always very negative. So my question is how can you maintain the positive, maybe pre-programming, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, but reprogram the negative? Because I could tell you, you know, I'm 56 years old. I'm an old guy. Those tapes still occasionally crop back up. They occasionally crop back up. How can we erase those tapes and re-record over them, to use an old analogy, to something more positive?
Yeah. Okay. So there's so many points here to speak on, because like you said, like you, there was one point in what you were sharing where you said, and I think there's something to that, you know, that there are certain people that have advantages. And I think it's really important to bring this truth into any time that we're talking about spirituality or manifestation or law of attraction, because something that's missing in a lot of that literature is the acknowledgement of systems. That there actually are systems in place that are designed to marginalize certain groups of people and hold certain people in the place that the system is designed to hold them in. So first of all, it's important to just acknowledge that and to know that a lot of these things that we're coming with, like as you said, pre-programmed with, that's not something that just comes from us, that we have soul. I'm going to use this word really intentionally right now, and I'll explain why later, but it's not something that we hold the fault for. There are systems in history that track with us. There are historical patterns in families that track with us in lineages. There are affirmations that started way, 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 way long ago that we carry with us epigenetically. So we come, like you said, and we've got all of this, right? It's not our fault, but the good news is that it is our responsibility. So we have the personal responsibility, which is synonymous with opportunity, to be able to change the way that we're carrying these stories. And what I talk about through my book is different from what I had heard when I started to look into manifestation and law of attraction and kind of New Age spirituality, which had said a lot of just visualize what you want, just stay happy, just keep your vibration high all the time. And I was like, okay, what about all this trauma that I'm working through? Like, what about all this heavy stuff that I'm carrying? Am I supposed to ignore it? Or am I supposed to, how do I repackage that? Where do I put it, you know? And so what I've realized through my journey, my personal journey, is that honoring where we are, and where we've come from, and what stories we're carrying is the first step to doing any sort of transformational inner work. So it's always going to be about presence. That's the first thing. That's the foundation. That's the most important part. Because from there, we're actually able to see what we're working with and see what we're carrying. If we bypass that, then we can't even start the work. So it all starts with cultivating a sense of safety within the self that says it's actually safe to be present here. It's actually safe to be here fully with this experience. It's actually safe to feel. So this creates a new relationship between the mind, which is the thoughts, right? And the emotions. and the body, the physical body, which is our feeling instrument. It's the instrument that we come here that allows us to experience emotion. So the first section of my book is actually all about setting up the framework for that. And it talks about the relationship between those three parts of our being so that we can actually even get into the work of reprogramming. Then, once we have that foundation set where we make a commitment to just being present with ourselves, the work is learning how to hold your own hand, learning how to actually love yourself in a way that maybe others weren't able to because our parents also have limitations, our caregivers, our culture has limitations, right? So we learn how to love ourselves through whatever it is that comes up. And then in that process of learning how to love ourselves, we remember what love actually feels like as a feeling state. And in that feeling state of love, when we get really familiar with it, we're able to then identify what resonates with that and what doesn't. What feels the same as love and what doesn't. And when we know that something feels the same as love, we keep it. And when we know that something doesn't feel the same as love, we bring it to question, we maybe do some journaling on it, we work with it, we try it on, we take it off, we look at it, we let it go, ultimately. Because all that we're interested in when we want to be in coherence with love, which is ultimately putting us in the flow state of our lives, being collaborators with life itself, is being on the same frequency vibration as love, which is self-acceptance, which is allowing the full emotional experience, which is not bypassing the emotional experience to try to stay happy all the time or to try to talk to ourselves super nice all the time. It's allowing ourselves to be messy and to be human and to be learning and to be making mistakes. So that's the short answer. Of course, the whole book itself is the long answer to your question.
And let me say this, I want to be very clear. I was very lucky. I had two parents that cared about me that ironically, even though I was kind of pumped into my head, you can't, you know, rise above your circumstances or so forth. They really wanted me to get an education, and that was a very big thing for them. Which, so it was like, that was kind of a dichotomy. And there are people, you know, I think about people who are born in underdeveloped countries, maybe people who are born with a very unstable family situation. So I'll make it clear, I'm not saying poor Jim. I had a lot, you know, if you look at it, kind of your point, if you look at it as a race, you know, there's some people who were, what was they say? You know, there's people who like, to use a baseball analogy, they're born on third base and thought they hit a home run. You know, I was at least on first base. There's people who, you know, aren't even in the batter circle. I mean, I hate to use all these sports analogies, but the point is I realized that I was very privileged in many ways compared to other people in the world. And there were people, and that's okay. I mean, I personally believe in personal responsibility. And I think that as much as humanly possible, you should try to, if you want to do it, to achieve and to progress and so forth. And I think you have to say, hey, this is the situation I'm in. Let me do what I can do, because I think ultimately there are many stories of people who have come from very difficult circumstances who have been able to do great things. Abraham Lincoln, great example. But anyway, now let me ask you this. Are there any affirmations to call yourself to task if you feel that you've... this is kind of an odd question because I've been lately feeling that, not that I'm dropping the ball, but that I could do a better job in some areas. Is there any self-productive self-talk? Because you talked about responsibility, and I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. Is there an affirmation you could say, hey, check yourself, Jim, and see if you're doing the best you can in this area of your life?
Yeah, well, and so the answer to that question is so deep because that's something that starts to happen when you take on this work intentionally, is you realize that maybe something that you were trying to access surface level, like if you're like, I just want an affirmation that helps keep me productive, but then you're present with yourself and you feel what starts to come up as you're sitting with this new affirmation or as you're doing this work. And everything that starts to come up is what's going to battle that information that you're giving yourself with the new affirmation. So let's say, for example, that you just chose something super simple and this isn't in the book, but it could work for you personally, to say, just go as simple as possible. I am productive. I get things done. You know, mm-hmm. could have an affirmation like that. And what you might find is that when you say that, instead of like, oh yeah, that's right, I'm Jim, I'm productive and I get things done, instead, what comes up is everything that wants to say, no, you don't. No, you're not. Here's all the evidence to show you why you're not productive. Here's all the evidence to show you why you don't get things done. Remember yesterday when you didn't get that thing done? Because that's how our mind works. And it doesn't have to be how our mind works, but it's the way that most of our minds are currently patterned. So then what happens is you have the opportunity to look at each of those responses that comes up to that affirmation and then dig a little deeper there. And you'll find that that then leads you to another affirmation and another affirmation. And you get deep enough and the affirmations become pretty simple. And so let's just say, for example, let's walk through this, that your affirmation is I'm productive. And then we get, no, you didn't get that thing done, so you're not productive. And then you go, oh, that's right. I guess I'm not productive and I'm never going to be able to get enough done. And then we go, oh, I heard the word enough. Mm-hmm. So there's a question of enoughness here. Am I doing enough? And then we can dig a little deeper into that and go, what is it about doing enough? Why is that so important? How does that make me feel when I'm doing enough versus not doing enough? Well, when I'm doing enough, I feel like I am enough. When I'm not doing enough, I feel like I'm not enough. Oh, okay. So now we have an association, an identity association, between who Jim is as a person and his productivity and what he's able to do and what he's able to complete. That, to me, looks like the place where this work needs to happen, right? It's not mm-hmm. to get Jim more productive by saying I'm productive. It's to maybe decouple the idea that Jim's worth is attached to his output. Mm-hmm. So then the affirmation might be, I'm enough even when I rest. Or I am worthy of a pace that works for me in my life. Or even there is enough time. So we can start to reprogram that deeper sense of self to get a strong sense of identity that's not going to necessarily be tethered to or attached to the things that it was previously. Because when we tether our identity to things like output or productivity or even our projects and our creations, it is false. It's false because that's not who the identity really is. When we're present with ourselves and we start to work through this process, we remember the truth of the identity as being love. And then that shifts everything. And all of a sudden, maybe the things that were kind of stealing some of your time shift. Maybe instead of waking up in the morning and scrolling on your phone and telling yourself, oh man, I'm not productive enough because I just spent 30 minutes scrolling on my phone. Maybe instead of that, what naturally happens is that you have a desire for a new routine. And now when you wake up in the morning, you're really inspired to go be out in nature. And instead you take a 30-minute walk and it clears your mind. And then for the rest of the day, oh, there you go. Now you've got the mental space and capacity that you need to be productive. You see, so the affirmations are deep and they change your life because of the opportunity that they offer to go deeper than the words. So you can take any affirmation that's in this book as a starting place, and it's going to bring you through that same process of recreating the identity and allowing the parts of your life that seem like they're just so scattered and disconnected and impossible to organize with your own human hands. It just mm-hmm. naturally sets those things into place when you start to do this work.
Now, in the book, I want to talk a little bit about the book. You have, it's Fearless, 27 Affirmations to Change Your Life. And you have things like, I can choose, I don't know, I am the prayer. I'm just reading a couple from the table of contents mm-hmm. here. But can you give us an example of one of your favorites, maybe, one of your favorite affirmations, yeah. and explain how it's kind of structured in the book?
Sure, I can. I actually have one here that I opened to right before we started, and I'll pull that one out again. Just take a second to find it again here.
No problem. It's funny because I've done some books, and sometimes I'll be interviewed, and we have like 60 stories in our book, 65, 60, 65, 70 stories in some of our books. And people will say, well, what about this one out of the blue? And it's kind of like, okay, well, let me scramble real quick so I know exactly where you're going from. So you let me know when you're ready.
Yes, I have it here. Okay, so can I read you the first page of this one? I am present.
Please do. Please do.
All right. No matter what we are experiencing, there's one thing that we can always do, one choice that we can always make, and that is to be present. We can tune into our own inner experience to notice the emotions, sensations, and thoughts that pass through us and are a part of us, or rather, that we are a part of. Presence is our point of access to the whole. It is where we must be in order to include more parts of the infinite within our experience. Use the affirmation, I am presence, to return to an understanding that supports your creative cycles and the balance of your energies. The receptive state of rest, ease, and relaxation can be paired perfectly with the guided action of movement, doing. Declare, I am presence, and invite yourself to expand. These words will begin a shift in your way of being. Yes, you are present, but you are more than that. You are presence itself. What if instead of calling the thoughts, emotions, and sensations that we experience a part of us, we call ourselves a part of them? What is the source of our thoughts, emotions, and sensations? What is the source of the filter through which we perceive our lives? What is the source of the perspective that we call I? There is but one source of all things. One source that every part of us belongs to, and that belongs to us, life. So then we go into talking about the different expressions of life, that the whole informs the parts and the parts inform the whole, that the communication flows both ways in a feedback loop of awareness, and how we place ourselves in that intentionally by choosing presence. So reading the words in this book is an opportunity for presence. It's an opportunity to be present with how the words sit with you, with the energetic and epigenetic changes that they make within you, as they themselves retrain your inner voice by introducing new ideas and concepts and ways of understanding the way that the world works. And also, we're simultaneously building a framework that teaches you how to retrain your inner voice.
Interesting, interesting, very interesting. Now, how does this work? Is it, I mean, what is the mechanism for the affirmations working? Is it just kind of like it subconsciously gets into your mind and you start to believe these things rather than just reciting them through repetition? What is the mechanism, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah. So I'll say again, the first section of this book, the whole first section, is called The Framework for the Work. And it literally builds you a framework to understand how to work with the affirmations. So you're not just coming in blindly to a book filled with words that's like, I am present, I am presence, I am presence, I am presence. You're not just repeating something. You're understanding and building out the framework for how to let those words into your life to change your life. So one of the things that's really important, again, to recognize and remember just foundationally is that the primary function of this work is to strip away what isn't love, what is a distortion of love, so that all that we're left with eventually is love, and that we redevelop this inner compass so that we're able to notice as we speak to ourselves which words aligned with love and which are not. That's the deepest part of the work. That's how we really are able to always be on top of and be intentional with how we're using our inner voice to create our world. Because that's what shows us where we're placing our limitations and whether or not that limitation serves us. Because limitations do serve us. They do. They serve us by affirming an identity. But we just have to decide if that's actually the identity that we're trying to create or not. So this affirmation work, it builds on itself. It's like a snowball. Because when you start and you've got one little seed and you're just kind of you're getting into it, but you're maybe not super in touch yet with what your inner world looks like. And you plant this little seed and it just starts to roll and grow and accumulate, and it grabs things with it. It starts to grab all the debris and all the junk and all the stuff that's just been kind of rolling around in you that is looking for a place to land and settle. And I think that a lot of the time, the way that people come into this work is in a state of feeling like there's some confusion in their life. Like the parts aren't all working together. Like there's too many puzzle pieces and we don't quite know where they all fit or how to put them together. It's really a question about how. And whether that presents itself as a relationship difficulty or not being able to land the career that I've been working toward for 15 years, or addiction, or a mental illness, or a physical illness, or any of these ways that the dysfunction of the inner world can present itself to us, the work of the affirmations is to become a good listener, so that anything that's dysfunctional in our life can point us to its root and can say, look here and be present here. And when we view it that way, that our pain is a messenger, that our fear is a messenger, that's the mechanism. That's the mechanism of how this works. It's really writing the relationship with each of these parts within ourselves that's operating to reorient us to love, because that's the work of the entire system. Every natural system is naturally orienting to harmony. So that's what our system is trying to do. And when we can get on board with that intentionally, then we help that process.
So in terms of how to do this, is this the kind of thing that you set aside 15 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, or is it something that you intersperse throughout your day for best results? What is kind of like the practical application of saying these affirmations, asking these questions, thinking about mm-hmm. these things and talking through it with yourself? What's the best way to do it in your view?
Yeah, so there's two parts to that. One is that ultimately, when you begin to do this work, it's going to find its way into all the times in your life. Like it will become something that you do all the time. And that's how it's designed to work, because it's changing the way that you are, the way that you are with yourself, right? And the way that you are working on the filter, creating the filter that you pull the world through. So that's going to be something that happens all the time. And just like how if you were to do a yoga practice or a meditation practice and have maybe a period of time that you set aside for that every day, and then that allows it to grow into the rest of your life because of that dedicated practice time, you can use this book in the same way. So I know people who will do one affirmation every day and then cycle through them. So when they finish the 27, they'll start back over, because there's always a new version of yourself that you're bringing to the work. So when you start this, there's going to be a different understanding of your identity than you will have when you come back to that same affirmation again. So we're going to meet I can choose with a different version of ourselves each time. Another way that you can use this book is there's journaling prompts that are in the first section that allow you to have a way to sit with the book, sit with the affirmations, and sit with what's coming up for you, and use writing as a tool to actually work yourself through that and support yourself. Because I built this book as a companion. This is something that is supposed to hold your hand through the inner work that it's offering you. So using the book as the work, and then also as the support for the work, is how I would recommend doing it. You can read all through it right away and just have it all within you and maybe come back to it again later, or you can break it up into smaller sections. You can bring it to groups, like to a book club, or read it with a friend so that you have someone that you can actually in real time talk through what's coming up for you, or read it with a therapist. I know sometimes a therapist will be willing to read the book alongside you, especially because this book has found its way into therapy clinics and has become a great tool for the therapist themselves to use with clients. So it's always something that you can recommend to your therapist too, if you do work with a therapist. So lots of different options for how to do that work.
Well, the next step, I think, is for people to check out the book and get the book. You provided some interesting information here, some good information, and now folks have to do their part and pick up on the book. Where can they do such a thing? And please give us that website address again of yours where people can check everything out that you do.
Yeah, you can check everything out, including my music, which is actually my favorite form of writing, on my website, which is www.mamarose.blog, mamarose.blog. And you can also order Fearless through your local booksellers. So you can get it anywhere online that you would order a book. And you can also get it from your local bookstores. If you go and they have it, great. If you go and they don't have it, you can ask them to order it and they can order it for you directly too.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, Mama Rose, thank you for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it and really appreciate it and wish you continued success with the book and everything that you do.
Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for joining us. I appreciate it very much. Please tell a friend about the shows. That's how we spread the word for these almost 21 years now, believe it or not. Crazy. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.